God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 10th day of April, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. This evening's sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Taming the Tongue, Part 2. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
I almost hate to admit it, but that was, I don't want to hate to admit it. It's probably wrong wording, but that was one of my favorite songs in college, but I hate to admit it was cassettes only, and possibly 8-track, I'm trying to remember, but I had a CD with that, and that was just always so soothing. I would play that, and after I studied and so forth, and just always remember that, so as soon as you started singing, you brought back college. And I was like, good, the time is over. Amen. Amen. Stephen's going to feel that way here pretty quickly, right? Amen. Well, James chapter 3, we go into part 2 on the tongue tonight. looking forward to it tonight. Good fellowship around some chili. Brother Lynn will have some announcements at the end of the service for us. Just remind you, Saturday outreach, we have these John Roman booklets that we like to pass out. And just some information about Easter services this Saturday as well as next. Now, also, if you're able to get involved, maybe help just kind of clean up the property, walk for 30 minutes or hour, pick up some trash, put it in some trash bags, but that'd be great if you'll let us know, and we'll make sure you've got the trash bags, and we'll get the property all cleaned up. I'll do that every year at the beginning of spring and get it looking nice. Easier to mow that way rather than chopping up all the trash, okay? And so good stuff. So a lot happening, and a couple more weeks, Easter picnic then, Easter revival services, so busy April, graduations in May, camps in June, and then busy. So keep all that in mind. Keep an eye on the calendar, if you would, the bulletin, and you'll want to get involved for sure. We started this morning on the tongue, and I want to continue. Just to bring it to speed, we're in James chapter 3, Taming the Tongue. And we read James. We'll do that again here in just a minute, but we figured out a couple things. First of all, we figured out that since we offend so often in the tongue, we learned this morning that we probably ought to be real good at apologizing it as well. And it's a common thing, common problem. We need to make sure we back up and also follow through with the apologizing. Secondly, we learned that since the tongue is so dangerous, it should probably merit our great concern and care. In other words, if it's the biggest danger in the church, probably ought to be something we keep an eye on. In other words, not going to just kind of take it half-heartedly and, hey, que sera, sera, whatever it said. No, you want to really be concerned with it, because guaranteed, we offend more in word than any deed that we do. And there it is multiplied multiple times over and over. And then finally, we talked about the real problem is the heart. We'll reiterate that a little bit later tonight as well, because I really think that is the key. The heart is the issue. And so we discussed that this morning under the light of what we read in James 3. Let's go ahead and read James 3 again. And I think it'll be beneficial as we stand again. He may just stand. I do not see why this is bad. I stand through the whole service. It's never offended me. I've often thought about having a service where everybody stands, but I was afraid you'd walk out, so we've not done that yet. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God and the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Thank you. May be seated. Ah, the tongue. It is amazing how much trouble the tongue can cause. In my thoughts about the tongue, I went back to an Old Testament story just to show you the poison and the problem of the tongue. You might remember a man by the name of Korah. Korah was the leader in the group, and he was one of the rulers, and he kind of got it inside of his heart. Remember, that's where everything starts. Kind of got it inside of his heart. He wanted a little more power. He wanted a little more position and prestige, even though he was one of the princes, one of the leaders already. But he was a little bit envious and jealous, obviously, of Moses. And so he began to, behind the scenes, began to talk. You know how it goes. I mean, you just kind of start dropping thoughts of, boy, he kind of takes on more than he ought to. Boy, he's kind of getting too big for his britches. Boy, he really thinks he's God up there. Boy, telling us what to do. About that decision to go this way. You know, was it really the best turn that we made? I mean, after all, I mean, didn't the serpents come out and bite a lot of people? Maybe we could have gone a different direction. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Just talking. You ever have conversations like that? I mean, you're just kind of talking, just kind of throwing things out. But he did it long enough. And as I've always said, if you say it loud enough and long enough, people start believing it. He understood this principle. Suddenly he gained 250 princes, 250 leaders in the congregation. Now, if you don't know much about the Old Testament, let me remind you. Moses was the meekest man in the face of the earth. He was only doing this because God told him to. You may remember he said, "I don't want this job. I can't even speak good. I don't want this job. Me in front. No, 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 no." And God said, "No, it's you." In fact, God got mad at him and made Aaron go with him because he wouldn't do it. So here's a scenario. He's out there leading. Doesn't want to lead, but God says, "You're going to lead." He's not arrogant. He's not proud. At one spot, he's literally spent all day judging the people. His father-in-law, Jethro, had to come and say, "This isn't good." But he just felt the burden of the responsibility. This is a meek man, a loving man. He cared about the people. But Korah, who wanted a better position, rose up against him, and he got 250 princesses. Now, folks, stop for a minute. Now, those are men that are over their tribes, which means they have families underneath them. You all understand family connections, do you not? So if Prince John, I just like that name, if Prince John suddenly says, "I don't think I agree with this," well, then Prince John's family and relatives, and by the way, everybody was connected back then. And suddenly in family meetings, you're all talking. And so he brought his tribe and his group and another one, 250 of them. It basically started encompassing about the whole congregation when you go back and read the story. And one day they come before Moses. Well, after all, majority rules, do they not? And how could so many people be wrong? I mean, come on. If you have 250 leaders, good men that love God and lead their families properly, and they all think Moses is out of line, come on, 251, okay, maybe Aaron and Joseph. So, okay, maybe three against 250. Well, gosh, these are good men. They must be right. Matter of fact, God said, I'll decide who's right. And he says, why don't we kind of separate into two groups? Okay. Put the 250 over here, put the three over here, and I'll decide. If you know your story, it wasn't a good day for Korah and his group. Suddenly the ground opened up, started swallowing people, and the congregation started backing away going, I've always believed in Moses. He's my favorite leader. I thought he was a great guy myself. I just going because Prince John said we had to show up over here. I've always been. Changes things, does it not? See, it's interesting. God gave us a pretty good visual that this big division that started, and by the way, it traveled to the whole congregation when you go back and read it. I mean, we're talking over 1 million people got involved because people started spreading things. And I'm telling you, it started with just a little bit of griping here, a little bit of griping there. And what almost destroyed the nation, are you ready, was the tongue. The tongue. A very visual illustration of how dangerous. Oh, preacher, it's not as bad as you think. I'm telling you, we pray more for people's tongues than you'll ever imagine. There are more issues that come up because of that. I thought of another Old Testament story. His name was Absalom. Go ahead and turn to this one. 2 Samuel chapter 15. It's a little bit shorter, so it's a little bit easier to look at. Korah's story is a little bit longer. 2 Samuel. Still in the Old Testament, is it not? Okay, good. Yeah, I thought I missed it there. Chapter 15. Let's take a look at verse 2. Remember David's son Absalom? Long-haired guy. Remember that? Everybody liked him. He had the long hair. The girls thought, ah. He was a sweetie, you know, the cutie. Such a precious little guy. Such a cutie. Anyways, okay, chapter 15, verse 2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. Now, I may remind you, this is after he'd come back to his dad, and his dad has now allowed him back in the city. In other words, Absalom was basically running for his life because he had killed his brother. He was basically excommunicated. He was removed. David didn't want to see him anymore. He's now back in the picture, and he sets himself up, as you're going to see, in the gate of the city. Look what it says here. And Absalom rose up early, stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, now wait a minute, they weren't coming to Absalom. Okay, it doesn't say, oh, I got to go get some advice from Absalom. No, they were coming to the king. But they knew that the way to the king was through a certain gate. So Absalom set up there with his men, his chariots. And as they came, he said, what are you coming for? Brother Swigert, what are you here for? Well, I got this issue. Well, listen, it's a long line to see the king. He's a busy man. Why don't you tell me, see if I can help? Well, that's kind of how it went. Well, look what the Bible says. It says that, and he said in verse 2, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, verse 3, see thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Now that may sound okay to you, but let me tell you what he's saying. The king is failed in his job. Basically, the undertone is, well, if I was king, I would have a man sitting here listening to all your problems, making sure that all everything's taken care of. But he hasn't assigned anybody. So look at verse 4. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge, not king, but just judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. What a great guy. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Now, I got to tell you, that would stop me from coming to Absalom right there. I would have ended it right there. I'm so glad we don't live in Europe. I got to tell you right now, thank God I'm American. Amen. We don't kiss men on the way into the church, okay? If you do that, we're going to ask you to stop right now. This is Oklahoma, okay? We'd rather hit you on the way in than kiss you on the way in, okay? Just a clarification. Verse 6, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom, now look at this, stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Well, wait a minute. What, he went out in front and led and won battles? Nope. So David did. David won the hearts of the people by serving them. David won the hearts of the people by doing what God had called him to do, being a leader. You know how Absalom stole the hearts of the people? His mouth. That's it. How long? Well, look at the next verse. And it came to pass after 40 years. For 40 years he sat there. For 40 years, he spewed this off. For 40 years, he solved the problems. For 40 years, he took away from David's honor and respect and said, let me help you. All the while planning when it's perfect time and the treachery had risen where he had the people's hearts. He could stand up with some lie, which he did, if you read the rest of the story, and say, hey, I should be king, not David. God wants me. And again, are you ready? The nation of Israel follows. Now, not everyone, but the majority. They were the mighty men. They were the righteous that followed David, God's chosen. But there was a large majority, once again, deceived, fooled by what? The mouth. Folks, you don't understand. The tongue is dangerous. Battles are won by the tongue. Nations fall by the tongue. Lives are ruined by the tongue. And yet we say, what's the big deal? The big deal is life and death are in the power of the tongue. We cannot overemphasize the importance of that. Here are two simple stories of many in the Word of God that if you follow them, they happen because of words. Words. So words matter. Oh, they matter. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. I want to talk about the poison of the tongue as we read in James chapter 3. This poisonous tongue. We mentioned it this morning, talked about the danger of it. I'd like to break it down for you here real quick. I'd like to go over the sins of the tongue. We will not be able to detail these out. But can I just show you some of the sins of the tongue in the Bible real quick? In case you're not familiar with them, here are some of the problems we run into as believers, as just human beings. Letter A, number one, gossip. Proverbs 18:8 talks about gossip. And many parts of the Bible calls it a tale-bearer and how it wounds the heart of people. Gossip is a horrible thing. What about this? Slander. Oh, now we're not just gossiping. We're taking another step of slandering people, attacking the very character of people. And what about this? Backbiting. Ah, yeah. Can't say it to their face, so we wait till they leave the room and By the way, if you're backbiting with somebody, have you ever thought about what happens when you leave the room? In case you haven't put it together, they're talking about you. Okay, so if you have a friend that talks about everybody, trust me, you're part of the meal sometime. Okay, you're part of it. What about this? Judgmental. Ooh, wish we had time to detail that out. Judgmental, though, is to pass judgment on, to mentally or judiciously condemn, to conclude, to decide, to determine. One who judges condemns others for their visible problems, but fails to recognize their own problems. Boy, judgmental. How about this? Revile. We revile with our tongues, that is to reproach, to denounce, to insult. How about this? Railing, to speak evil of, to vilify. We rail on people. These are all, matter of fact, 1 Peter 3, verses 7 through 10, talk about when someone rails on you, you give them blessing instead. Or what about this one? The Bible talks about blasphemy. We know about blasphemy. Oh, don't blaspheme. What about mockery? That's in there. Oh, here's a couple more. Swearing? Yeah. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Cursings, we just read. Evil speaking, lying, envying. Need we go on? Yeah, it's sobering when you think about it. But if we had time to break down each one of them, you'd find something about them. Every one of them is what we spoke about this morning. They're poisonous. Every one of them. Envy, what a poison. Oh, man. I've seen relationships destroyed because of envy. And just like Absalom, who envied the throne and wanted his dad's position, and for 40 years he spewed this behind the scenes, and envy always comes with a nice glazed top. It always seems nice and creamy and nice on top, but it's got bitterness underneath. And it will weave and manipulate its way. Folks, I'm telling you right now, the tongue's a poisonous thing, and we should be aware of it. As your pastor, probably the older I get, the more I realize. When I'm counseling people, a lot of times people want to come in separately. That's always fun. And so you got a husband-wife situation, let's say. And so the wife calls, she comes in. The husband calls, they come in. And I've learned this. Just to help you out, I never listen to just one side. You know, it just doesn't happen. You say, what? I've learned over the years, the tongue is a poisonous thing. We like to show our best. So if the wife comes in and she tells me everything about you men, don't worry. I don't believe it all. Yeah, but I know she came to talk to you and she said bad things. Maybe she did. Some of you would be surprised how much they haven't said bad things. But a lot of times when they do, I'm just going to help you. I'm not mean to them, but I take those evil speaking and stuff and I put them in the back and go, okay, no problem. Let's get to the real problem. When the man comes in and he's coming in without his wife and he's trying to tell me how bad she is and all this kind of stuff, I've just learned there's two sides to every story. Can I help you with that? You might want to remember that. Can I help you? Don't be too quick to listen to the poison that you're hearing. For some reason, we are pre-designed to like junk. I mean, I was going to start this before services and just ran out of time. And I wasn't sure. I hadn't decided which route to go, but I was afraid it would really go bad. But I was just going to pick somebody like Brother Coberly and just start telling lies about him. You know, but my fear was, to tell you the truth, the only reason I wisely said no, I was afraid even after the message, someone would be dumb enough to believe it. And 2 years later, you'd be whatever lie I came up with about Brother Coberly. People saying, is it true? I heard, you know, and I thought, that's a bad idea, Brother John. And so I let that one go. But it's just funny how you can gather people around that when you start spewing poison, it's like how close we get to that. Hey, folks, listen, can I help you? All that is listed there and more is sin. It's dangerous. It's a fire. It's from hell, the Bible says. That's what it's all about. And yet, we have a problem with it. Why? We talked about it this morning. Everybody offends this way. Now, don't use it as an excuse to keep doing it. You need to realize that if you're doing that, someone's doing the same thing about you. And the best thing we can do is learn to stop it. Well, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked. Would you turn to a famous verse, Philippians 4, verse 8? I do want to take a look at this verse. We don't have time to look at all the verses in the Bible tonight in a short Bible study. I think you're wise enough to realize those things listed are wrong, so I don't think we need to prove that. Philippians 4, 8, though, there is an antidote to poison. Philippians 4, 8, the Bible says this, "Finally, brethren," I like the way this is worded, "whatsoever things are true." And let me just remind you, this whole chapter, Philippians 4, is about peace. I like that. I mean, the whole theme is peace. How do you get peace? One of the great ways is your tongue. Yeah, you want peace? Learn to control and refrain your lips from evil. How do you do that? Well, let me give you some thoughts real quick. Philippians 4, 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, wait a minute. I thought we're talking about our tongue. You said think, right. But from the heart, the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. So wait a minute. Remember I told you we got to change our heart? We're going to tell you practically how to do that. If you think about these things, you will change your heart and you will speak properly. This is where we go. Well, what things are those? Look at it. Number one, true. I love this one. That's something accurate. Let me give you a question. Will it give an accurate impression? Is what I'm about to say really, is it fully truth? Most of the times, to be honest, a lot of what we say has some truth, but it's not all true. Do you know how cults get started? It's mixed with about 90% truth and 10% lie. You want to know what the problem is? The 10% is enough to damn someone to hell. Yeah, most lies that I see in Christianity, they have a scripture verse to back it up. The problem is, it's not proper. That's exactly right. It's a phrase. It's a word. They break open the Bible. There are certain groups that are real good, like Jehovah's Witnesses. They love to use Greek. Brother Charles and I have been emailing back and forth about this. Man, they love Greek. And they'll break out Greek to you. Well, now, most of you don't take Greek, so you're unfamiliar with Greek. But it's impressive. Matter of fact, I've thought about using Greek all the time just to make you impressive. Impressed. Oh, Pastor Smart, he knows Greek. You know? But the reality is, you don't know Greek, so it doesn't be no good to spout off Greek. But I'll read some of the Watchtower stuff, and there'll be Greek words in there. Totally out of context. Wrong tense. I mean, totally in the wrong context of what they're saying. And I'm sitting there going, no, that is so off. But the average person doesn't get it because they throw a Greek. We're like, oh, this is so cool. And then they'll start out with a little bit of truth, but then they mix in enough lies that it totally confuses people because we don't know. You see, it's not that it's some truth. It needs to be all truth. And for it to be all truth, we normally have to take a little bit of time of investigating and praying and talking, and rarely do we do that. Number two, is it honest, honorable? In other words, should it be imitated by others? What do you mean? Well, I should speak about things that are honorable. Yeah, but what she did was really, yeah. Is it honorable? No, but it's fun to talk about. Right, so what she did isn't honorable, so why are we talking about it? Well, yeah, but someone has to know. Really, who? My friend. What are we going to talk about this week? If we can't talk about what he or she did, we have no conversation. Why? It's funny how it changes things, does it not? By the way, just because you get information, and it may be true, doesn't mean it's honorable and that you need to present it. Because it's not going to benefit anybody. Look at the next one. Is it true? Is it honorable? Is it just? In other words, proper. Is it appropriate to say at this time? Well, maybe true, okay, but is it honorable? Is it just? Is it appropriate to say in this situation? Folks, these are huge. The fact of the matter is, when the Bible says if you want peace and you want the right heart, these are the elements you develop in your life. You develop truth. You develop honesty. You develop just. And look at this one, pure. Oh, I love that one. He says that which is pure, uncontaminated. Now look at this. Is it motivated by any pride or selfishness? Really, am I spreading this because of my own selfish desire to squeal on somebody? My own pride that I'm not participating in it? Uncontaminated, that which is pure. You know, the Bible says, it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You said what? There's no reason. Most of what we say about somebody else, even when it's true, has no purpose to spread. There's just no benefit. My favorite is, we're counseling, really. Yeah, most of the time we're not counseling or seeking counsel, we're gossiping. Let me help you. Okay? Counseling is a very rare form. Counseling really comes from the person who needs it, not from you. So if I have information on you, then I should be talking to you about it, not somebody else. Okay? And so we put in these categories. Let me help you. Pure is uncontaminated. Let's go on a little bit farther. Lovely. Is it pleasant? Will it brighten the lives of all who hear it? I like Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Don't you like lovely things? Yeah, it's cool. You know, I think, let me help you. I honestly believe there's enough good stories out there that we can talk about the good. Let me give it. Riley Colburn comes up to me today, and yesterday he went fishing. And he's got a fishing buddy. Well, kind of buddy. He sees him, okay? But he says every once in a while he'll see this guy out there, and the Spirit of God just kind of motivated him this week. And while he was out there, he started talking to the man. And well, the man had started out talking to Riley. He had mentioned something about God. So Riley used it as an open door, started talking to him. And they're sitting there fishing. He got to lead him to the Lord yesterday. You know what? That's something good to talk about. It was about a week ago, Brother Steve at the car wash. Brother Steve goes to wash his car. And he finds a guy there needing some help. Brother Steve sits down, begins talking to him, starts sharing the Lord with him. The man bows, accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know what? That's something good to talk about. You know, those are good praises. Got a phone call from Miss Pam. And Miss Pam got some good news this last week. That's good stuff. She's driving back Thursday. She's a candidate for that surgery. They're going to help her out tremendously. Hey, that's something good to talk about. Well, there's a lot of good things to talk about if you really look around. There really are. We don't have to talk about all the junk. We don't have to talk about that which is impure, ungodly, unlovely. But it happened. It's true. I did. You bet. But how is it beneficial and pleasant to anybody? I'm telling you, when your heart says, no, I want to go to the right. Now, folks, that doesn't mean that we're blind to these things. That doesn't mean that we don't know that they exist. And that doesn't mean some of us in different positions, I have to deal with some of that because of the position that I have. That's just part of it. But for most people, you don't have to deal with that stuff. It's not your position. It's not your authority. So what do? If it's not lovely, let it go. Let it go. And let me help you with this. Are you ready? If it's not lovely, stop somebody else. Well, what are you talking about now, preacher? Well, got something I want to say about Brother Robin, so I'm going to go tell Brother James. So I come and tell Brother James, well, oh man, he just really irritated me. I mean, I can't believe he did this, he did that. And best thing Brother James could do is go, oh, really? Now, he's a good guy. Seriously, have you told him this? No. No, he just made me mad. Well, let's go together and go talk to him. What? No, I'm fine. Well, no, you're definitely bothered. I tell you what, we'll just go together and we'll go talk to him. That stops a lot of stuff. You ever thought about that? That's a great way to handle things. I remember, can I share this, Dad? Do you mind? He's sitting there going, I don't know what you're going to say. That's how you bait somebody right there. He knows, right? Oh, it was years ago. I just remember being young. I've told you before, but remember sitting there, youth director. I don't remember all the details, but Dad comes in. He was mad at our youth director, you know, and he was talking to the associate assistant youth director. That's always wise. But anyway, so he comes in just lamb blasting our youth director, and I'll never forget. And who was it that did that? But Paul Hayes, Brother Paul Hayes just stops. And I'm a young man. I'm like, you know, 14, 15 years old. I'm a young man. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, Miss Jenny. Could you stop right there? Have you talked to Brother Ed yet? And I'm watching one. Uh-oh, this is not going to be pretty. Brother Paul's getting ready to be beat up. He's going to die. We just lost the assistant youth director. And Dad goes, well, actually, I haven't yet. He goes, really, we probably shouldn't discuss this till you talk to him. Case closed. chirp, 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 chirp. Hey, anybody want some chips? Yeah. You say, did it work? It worked. Now listen, do we all have a problem with our tongue? May we all have to stop somebody in love and say, oh, Brother Gary, can I talk to you? You may have to go, oh, Pastor. can I say something, Pastor? Have you talked to them yet? Well, no. You remember that sermon you preached? No. Not anymore. Gosh. See why? Well, we all have an issue with it. It's hard, folks. It's tough. But let me tell you something. Unless you're in a counseling situation where you're trying to get advice to help somebody and you really want to help them, it's of no use. And the best thing we could do is help one another by saying this. And I tell you what, a lot of members in our church do that. I love that. We've had issues develop throughout the years. There's things that come up. And nothing, I'm telling you, nothing blesses the pastor's heart more than I'll hear of things popping up and someone will come to me and say, well, preacher, somebody came. I just wanted to alert you to this. They said this, but I told them. And I'm like, I love you. I told them. I said, man, you stop that. There's no reason to spread that. And that's not true. And even if it is, nobody needs to know whatever that is. I'm like, you're a wonderful person. Can you imagine if the majority of church did that? Wow. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, lovely place to be able to go into the house of God and realize, I don't got to worry about that. With the majority. Now, there's always a few, of course. What do you do? We find them, we kill them, and we move on, okay? But really, there's always going to, and that's the other thing. Well, preacher, how do you stop everybody from gossiping and talking? You don't. You don't. But the fact matters, if we can get the majority to stop, that's a pretty pleasant place to be, amen? It really is. Go on real quick. It says, lovely, good report. Oh, will it damage anyone's reputation? Oh, man. It may be true, but is it of a good report? And what about virtue? Does it have moral excellence? Will it motivate someone to godly living? And finally, praise. Is it praiseworthy? In other words, is it something I can praise? Ephesians 4:29, we said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now listen, I know as young people are going, this is great. Mom and Dad can never yell at me again. Wrong. That's not the message. You're still going to get it. Okay, what's the message then? Even in discipline, even in instruction, as leaders, as people in authority, we ought to try to do it in a way to restore and grace. One of the hardest things is having to talk to somebody, whoever they may be, and try to present something in such a way that even though it's not real pleasant, you're doing it in a way to try to uplift and edify them, okay? Some of you as bosses may have to fire people. This doesn't mean, I can't fire anybody. No, you probably just shouldn't go and say, hey, you big dummy, you're out of here. You have to fire them in a way that will edify them. Well, listen, now your services at the present time are probably not going to be as effective for our employment right now. But I believe with a little bit of work, a little bit of training, you're going to do really good in another location. Today. Goodbye. But it does. And it's hard. I'm telling you, it's hard. But the fact of the matter is, it's not what the Bible said. We put away evil speaking, wrath, malice. And with forgiveness, with tenderness. Oh, tenderness, we learn to talk. Now, folks, that takes work. Can I just be honest with you? That takes work. Now, I want to give you a couple thoughts here. We got to close down because I smell chili. In this, as we conclude, number one, we need to be cautious what we listen to. You know, we just mentioned that, but I got to tell you, we really do need to be cautious what or who we listen to. If we're going to watch our tongues and use our tongues, it's not just what we say, it's what we hear. Remember the illustration of Korah and Absalom? Now, folks, I want to remind you, these were good men that used their tongues in a bad way. Okay? And it was subtle and it was manipulative. But even in that, you should be saying, no, I'm not listening to that junk. No, we're not going, no, this is wrong. You have no business telling me you should be going to a deacon, you should be going to a pastor. Yeah. There's no reason for you to be coming to me with this stuff. Okay? It does no good. We need to learn to practice being cautious what we listen to. And it is not wrong in love to tell a brother or sister. Now, folks, you can't judge. Brother Mark, you're being critical. No, it's like, Brother Mark, I'm sorry. I'd really rather not hear this. If you've not talked to them yet, and I don't see where I'm going to be a benefit, you know, and I'm not against your brother, but I really rather maybe that stays between you two because you're not asking my counsel, you're venting. Okay, you're just kind of laying it on me right now. And you know, if you could just keep it between you two because I don't want to change my vision of them. Wow, now that's hard. But I don't know about you, but I appreciate when people do it about me. I'm telling you, right now, a man that raised in friendship in my mind is Brother Zimmerman in Sepulpa. And I'll never forget the day that he calls me on the phone where he's sitting in a meeting and some preachers were saying something bad about me. That wasn't true. I'll never forget the day he called. And he's sitting there listening and he goes, oh, excuse me. I happen to know Brother Waterloo. And what do you mean, his music or his standards and stuff like this? What do you mean by that? Well, we heard this. He goes, I tell you what, let me call him. And in the meeting, he walks outside, calls me. I'm sitting in my office. He goes, Brother Waterloo, got a couple questions for you. Sure, what is it? What do you believe about music? What? Just answer real quick. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, honor God. Does that work? That's good. How about standards? Yeah, there's a variety of them. Be modest and serve the Lord. Sounds good. Click. I'll call you back. Okay. He goes back into the meeting and he tells the man, listen, I just talked to Brother Waterloo. This is the Bible verses he quoted and what they believe. Those men stopped and this is what they said. Well, actually, we've never talked to Brother Waterloo. We've never been to his church. We just heard this from another guy. Now, listen, if men of God can get caught up in something like that, I'm thinking so could we. But you know what was impressive to me? He was brave enough to say, that's a friend of mine. I'd like to verify that. And with the phone call, he was like friend number 25. He's like number 5 now. He jumped right up. Say, I like you. But you see what it did? You know, in that, and can I tell you what it also did to me? You ever say something bad about Brother Zimmerman? What do you think I'm going to do? Oh, wait a second. Oh, no, I don't think so, buddy. Why? Because I remember what he did for me. Okay, now, folks, that's just reality. Now, you imagine if that's going around. You say, well, what if people are doing real evil and bad? We have a pretty big God. You mean God will take care of them? Pretty sure. Pretty sure God will make everything work out. And we have an authority structure. I realize as pastor, I have some responsibilities there. It's okay. We'll do our duty. Don't you worry about it. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have to worry about that stuff. Why? We got a big God. He'll work it out. Okay? We just do our part. Number two, we need to commit to spreading blessings instead of cursings. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. We went through that. Number three, we need to examine our hearts and change the inside. Boy, if we would change our inside, it'd be so much better on the outside. And last but not least, I like our ushers. Do you have my handouts, Brother Jim? Brother Jim, do you have the handouts? Yeah, if you could pass those out real quick. We're going to end with this and let Brother Lynn come up. It's been a long time. We were in the old building. And we brought some messages on the tongue probably 10 years ago, maybe longer. Some of you have been around a while. You may remember this, you may not. But we actually took a saying that comes from the Gothard Institute, Bill Gothard came up with in his report on giving a good report. And we actually put it in big, bold letters, and we asked the church at that time to sign it. How many remember that? How many were here around that time? Okay. I'm not asking you to sign anything. I just want to reread that again. Because I thought, boy, it's a great reminder. I will tell you, when we did that 10, 12 years, it was a wonderful thing in the church. It did create such a good spirit. It helped stop just a lot of gossip. Again, it's not going to stop everything. It's not going to stop all evil speaking. But if we can, in a majority, have different places around the church, that when it hits those sections, people say, wait a second, that's a brother or sister in Christ. It'll be so pleasant, so pleasant. This is what it says. this is actually... I'm not asking you to sign a covenant. I'm not asking you to make a vow. It's just more of a statement that we need to remember in giving a good report as a church. I think it's maybe something we can just commit to one another to the best of our ability. Let me read it to you as we're passing it out. In obedience to the word of God, we hereby commit ourselves to the goal of giving a good report. When this is not possible, we purpose to remain silent. Or to go privately to the person, confirm our goal, and explain the offense that would hinder us from giving a good report. We hereby purpose to approach an offender in a spirit of genuine love, having first examined and corrected our own attitudes and actions. You know, when you really get in the Word of God, are you aware that the Bible says that before we go to somebody else, we always correct ourselves? So before you can ever go and correct somebody else, and by the way, that wasn't part of the lesson. We didn't have time for that. There are times people in authority have to do that. Parents have to do that. Preachers have to do that. Bosses. There are times where judgments are made, and people have to make that because that is their position. There's no debate. That wasn't the message, but it is a reality. When that happens, though, the first thing we should always do is say, wait, man, am I errant in that area? Before I go to that member, before I go to that brother or sister, is there something that I need to pull out of my own eye, is what the Bible says. But then it says, first examine and correct our own attitudes and actions. Only if we are unable to restore an offender will we share the problem with others according to the principles of Scripture. When we violate this goal, and we will, when we violate this goal, we purpose to ask forgiveness, knowing that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good goal to have, is it not? I understand. That's why I like the way it's worded. I thought God did a good job in the wording. When we violate this goal, because we will, that we're going to do everything we can to ask forgiveness and get back on track. We're not asking for perfection, folks. What we are asking for is this, that we be brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you may be thinking, wow, has there just been a big gossip problems in the church? I don't know, has there? I mean, not that I know of, no. Oh, why'd you preach this? God laid it upon my heart. We looked at this, back in October, November. So choose your words. I do know this. It is a problem in every church. I do thank God that it's a minimal problem at Central Baptist Church. But I never want to take for granted the most dangerous thing we have in our church, the tongue. See, you thought it was Satan. Yeah. Actually, a little more dangerous than that, believe it or not, is the tongue. It's a fire. Now, he uses it. He uses it in a great way. But I'm telling you, this mouth of ours gets all of us in trouble, including me. And I'm telling you, if we can commit to one another, to doing our best, to talk lovely and positive and pure and correct about one another, and that when we can't, do everything we can to try to correct it, and then when we blow it, to ask for forgiveness, what a wonderful thing it will be. Now, I'm going to give one clarification of that. Honestly, please don't do this. I didn't have time to go into this in the lesson. There's so many little side notes of this. But if I say something bad about Brother Nate and he never knows it and it never comes to him, I probably shouldn't go up to him one day and say, oh, Brother Nate, I've been saying horrible things about you. Will you forgive me? Sure. What have you said? That's a whole other lesson. Let me help you with that. I've had people do that. I'm going, what are you doing? I was going to apologize. No, you want to go to the person you said it to. And then if he did get back to Nate, then you go to him. But outside of that, if Mark and I are talking and Mark said it to me, I said to him, I may go, Mark, I'm so sorry. I probably shouldn't have said that. Would you forgive me? Well, sure, Pastor, you bet you. Yeah, I didn't take it any farther. You bet. Okay, good. Woo! But yeah, don't go up to people because it's shocking when that happens. And it actually probably creates more of a problem. So the forgiveness is between the two people talking, not maybe the object. Listen, I don't really know how to do an invitation. You say, why? Because we probably all ought to be forward. Let's just be honest. That's the way it is. And so I thought tonight we'll just have a quiet time of prayer where we're sitting for just a minute and let each one of us say, you know, Lord, would you help me with my tongue? Would you help me with what I say? Would you just guide me a little bit better? And if you bring to mind someone I maybe need to go to apologize to that I've been talking with in a negative way about somebody else, and you brought that to my mind, and we've all done it at some point, no debate. But if there's something recent that's come to your mind, maybe I need to go correct that, great. But at least let's start where we're at, okay? We can't go back to yesterday, last week, last year. Let's start where we're at and understand this. Not only will we make mistakes, but can we also be forgiving on those people who say something about us? I mean, honestly, I've not now said I'd never talk to those other pastors again, okay? Good news is I don't know who they were. Because in my flesh, I may not ever talk to them again. But the reality is, no. Why? Because they're human like anybody else. So could we do this, not just ask forgiveness for maybe us talking about other people, but could we also keep the spirit of forgiveness for those people who say something about us? Because if we're honest about it, there's a lot to say about us. I mean, none of us has got a clean slate. Your pastor's got a pretty long list. I'm a pretty easy target. If you want something to talk about at dinner time and rip somebody up, I'm a pretty good one. You know, it's pretty obvious. But the fact of the matter is this. We just need to be more loving and forgiving one towards another and watch our tongues. So let's just bow your heads, just have a quiet time of prayer, and we'll just spend some time with the Lord there and go from there.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city, at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.